Oil in the water.
The spill went unreported for 3 days.
And chaos in the street.
At least 6 kids were fighting with rocks, sticks, and a taser.
A good cause.
That's what actually lights me up.
And a terrible crime.
She was so old, I thought I could take advantage of her.
All stories with one thing in common.
Maybe they think Miley Cyrus is controversial.
Yeah, I don't know.
They came from one reporter covering a beat. From the Fox 6 studios, this is Open Record. We are investigative reporters breaking down the big stories, what it took to get them, taking you behind the scenes. It's the stuff we couldn't tell you on TV. I'm Brian Polson, and my co-host this week is Open Record's executive producer, Sarah Smith. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Brian.
So before we bring in our guest this week, we have a pretty exciting announcement to make if you are listening in to Open Record. For the past 3 years or more, I don't know how long this has been going on, Sarah, it's been a long time, we have released 269 episodes. We've won a couple of regional Edward R. Murrow Awards and one National Murrow Award for Best Podcast. But through all of that time, Open Record has been, as most podcasts are, an audio-only product. You can hear us, but you can't see us.
And blessed.
Some days, I was going to say some days, that's probably a good thing. Now we have to actually, you know, take showers and put on decent clothing, things like that, because Sarah and I, this changes today. Sarah and I are sitting in the brand new Fox 6 digital studio with special thanks to our chief photographer, Kale Zimney.
Yay!
That's Kale right there. He's put this whole studio together. He is the puppet master behind the scenes who's pulling all the strings and changing all the cameras and making things look good. So if you are listening to the podcast, this is not the end of the audio podcast. It will continue as it always has. But now there's a video version as well, and there are going to be a number of places that you can see that. Sarah, I don't know if you've had a chance to play with the Fox Local app at all, but that is where this will be.
Yes, and I have not, but I have heard so many good things as people are clicking through around here and our digital team, you know, talking about it. And they're super excited about this video podcast happening too. So
the Fox Local app is, it's, you know, if you have a smart TV and you have all the different little, you know, squares or whatever for mm-hmm. Netflix and Hulu and whatever else there might be, there is an app for Fox Local. And if you click that, there are local TV stations around the country that are local Fox stations, including Fox 6. And one of the things you'll be able to see there is the video version of Open Record, among many other things. You'll be able to see Contact 6 stories, investigations that have previously aired, newscasts, and more, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be all sorts of stuff. They also are talking about, and I know this is currently have started already, is the bubbler in Real Milwaukee. They clipped that and you could rewatch that in case you missed it. And those are some of the kind of the local stories that are happening in and around Milwaukee that happen and we showcase on Real Milwaukee.
And my understanding is, so I have Roku TVs at home or Roku, the devices, and we are not yet on Roku, but that's coming soon. So right mm-hmm. now you can get it on Apple TV, Android TV, Fire TV, like a Fire Stick yep. or something like that. Those all, it's all there already. And what Carrie Doctor, who's our digital content manager, was telling me is that eventually it's going to be built into certain TV brands. LG, I think, already has it. Vizio is coming soon. There may mm-hmm. be others where when you get the TV, it'll be the Fox Local app will be right there yeah. as part of sort of the services available on
That's
your TV.
Wild. So 2023, man.
Things, remember when we used to just have 3 channels and mm-hmm. you could just, you had to turn yeah. them on and be within a broadcast range? Well, things have changed, so you can watch us from all over the country. Let's get to today's topic because, Sarah, we talk a lot about investigative reporting on this podcast, and I love doing that. But a lot of times what we don't talk a lot about is the day-to-day stuff that really keeps the news going all the time.
Right.
You know, sometimes I can't believe that I am off the air as long as I am working on things behind mm-hmm. the scenes. But we have reporters who are on the air every single day, and some of them are covering just whatever the story of the day may be that comes about. This is the most important thing. We've got to send you on it. But what we don't see a lot of in local news is beat reporting. And we're bringing some of that back to Fox 6 News. And we're going to talk about what that is, why it matters, and what Fox 6 is doing to bring it back to the local newsroom. And here to talk to us about his local news beat, we're going to welcome in Brett Lemoine, who is joining us via Zoom.
Our first guest on our video podcast.
How's it going, Brett?
Hi, Brian. Hi, Sarah. Great.
So first of all, just in terms of this setup, we have for a long time had you on as a guest, and you're a great podcast guest, but it for, on your end, it often means you've got to record like a separate audio stream in addition to connecting to Zoom, and it's very complicated. This is probably a little easier now, right?
It's like a vacation. I don't have to go. I just sit here on my couch.
So, I like it. So beat reporting, Brett, this is something that you now have a beat here for Fox 6 News. And my understanding is it's sort of developed over time. I don't know how this really came about, but maybe tell us a little bit about what your beat is, how it came to be.
Oh. Hold on. Before we even get to that part, though,
okay.
I think saying a beat reporter is what we kind of call inside baseball, right?
Like, sure.
So what is a beat reporter? I think that might be, you know,
that's
for listeners who don't
start,
know,
yeah.
If we're going kind of behind the scenes here, what is a beat reporter?
Yeah, that's a perfect scene setter, Sarah. So we'll back up and kind of explain that for our audience. So I think of a beat reporter as any reporter who has kind of a specialized focus, whether that's on a particular community or a particular topic. For our viewers that watch the national evening news, for example, you probably hear people referred to as, you know, the Pentagon reporter or a London bureau reporter. That's kind of what I think of when I think of a beat reporter, someone with a specialized focus in a particular area.
And I know years ago, people who are Fox 6 News fans will remember someone like Joanne Williams, an education beat reporter.
We had health reporters that were beat reporters, you know. So, yeah, that you're right with that specialized focus.
So it can be a topic like that. It can also be an area. Tell us a little bit about your beat and how that came to be.
Sure. Well, I think it was kind of the genesis of it started in right before the pandemic. Where our news director at the time said, you know, we really want to up our game in covering certain segments of our demographic population. And one of them being Waukesha. You think in terms of just the suburbs of Milwaukee, which obviously is our most populous area in not only the state, but in our viewing area, you know, the suburbs are equally important as well. There's still lots of things that are happening outside of Milwaukee, and they really wanted to bring a focus on Waukesha County in particular. Unfortunately, the pandemic kind of derailed those plans, and we're fortunate enough to have some new management at Fox 6 who also recognized that this is something that is important. And so I would say within the last two and a half years, we really started to up the ante in terms of covering stories that happen out west, as it were.
When it comes to covering a particular area, what are the advantages of that? And I'm sure there are some drawbacks as well, but why is that advantageous over just sending whoever happens to be the reporter to go cover that Waukesha story today? Or does it in fact mean sometimes stories might not get covered if there's not someone who's focused on that area?
Sure. Well, I think there's a lot of challenges at stake, right? Just in terms of what we do every day as TV news reporters and journalists, it's very difficult for any one of us to be an expert on everything and know everything that's going
Amen.
On in Milwaukee, in Oak Creek, in Kenosha, in Sheboygan. It's just not possible. So you can know a lot of little things about, you know, everything, but not certainly have that intense focus like I do here in Waukesha. So basically it means, you know, I get up every morning, I read the police blotters. I talk to my neighbors because I live out in Waukesha. I talk to friends. I've developed sources, which has been so wonderful. You know, when something happens, in this community, I know exactly who I need to call to get information. And sometimes that's just not possible when you're out covering stories at any given area within our viewing area, because it's just so wide. It's so huge.
So we know Milwaukee is, you know, the largest city in our area. Obviously, Waukesha, up and coming, it is developing every day, every month. Why is Waukesha important for Fox 6 in our market?
Well, I think there are a lot of people, obviously, that live out in Waukesha. Waukesha also is one of the largest communities in the state and in our viewing area. So there is a lot of stuff that's going on out here. And Sarah, I'll put it in perspective for you. I've been at Fox 6 now for a decade.
What?
And and I would say that in my first maybe 6 or 7 years at the station, it was rare that I ever came out and actually covered stories in Waukesha. Now, I don't think that that was intentional. I don't think we were ignoring this part of our audience. But when you look at us geographically, right, our station is in Brown Deer. And out in, for example, Oconomowoc, you're looking at about an hour's drive to get there, right? So sometimes you're missing some breaking news that's happening out west. Sometimes it's just not possible logistically to get out and cover these areas. So what we have right now is a huge benefit for people living in Waukesha County, because they know now they've got someone who's embedded in their community who can get to these stories quickly, who knows what it's like living out in Waukesha County and can convey that to the viewer and relay important information on a daily basis.
You know, what's interesting to me is the role the pandemic actually played in making this possible, because prior to that, it was standard practice for everyone to drive into the station and be dispatched from Brown Deer. And so as you talk about that distance to get out, the farther something is away physically from the television station, the harder it is to make the determination that we're going to commit resources there because it's got to be a sure thing, or can we get there in time? But the pandemic gave us the freedom to station people at home and dispatch from home. And because of that, you live in Waukesha. If there's something that happens in Oconomowoc, as you said, you don't have to first come to Brown Deer and then go back out. You're already in Waukesha County and can come straight from home. So it seems to me that the pandemic actually played a role in really making this beat possible.
100%. And Brian, I should say, not only do I live out in Waukesha, but I grew up in this area too. So this is really home for me. You know, I'm a Waukesha West High School graduate. I made the choice to be a taxpayer here as well, to move back to this community that I really love. And raise my family here as well. So it's meaningful to me as well. And I think that hopefully our viewers take away from watching this that it also is going to benefit them to have someone like me covering these stories. And you're right, you know, for the first, you know, 7 or 8 years that I was working at Fox 6, yeah, we would have to start at 9:30 on the dot. In Brown Deer and then come out, you know, to any community, whether that be Kenosha, Sheboygan, or Waukesha, and then cover these stories. So this has already paid off in a lot of ways, right? I think one great example, Brian, is we just recently had, there was an alderman in Waukesha who was arrested for child abuse. And because we're already out here, we were the only station that was able to get into his initial court appearance and show that to our viewers. And so, you know, I think that matters. That matters, right? That's an extra thing that Fox 6 viewers get that they're not going to be able to get anywhere else.
Do you find, so we've talked about some of the positives of a beat reporter and having you in Waukesha and growing up. Do you find that there are challenges, any complications or conflicts where you're like, oh, this is tough for me?
Sure. I would say, Sarah, I mean, this has been having this beat has been the most fun that I've ever had working at Fox 6, but it's also been the most challenging. It is actually really hard work because you think of the stories, for example, in Milwaukee are often very obvious, right? You know, you've got a shooting, you've got crime, you've got something bad that's happened to someone. And we go out and we cover it and we bring that information to our viewers. The stories sometimes out in the suburbs are a little bit more difficult to find, right? They're not obvious. They're not necessarily in plain view, so to speak. So you really have to dig sometimes for stories. And I'm very proud of the stories that we've been able to find. Now, one of the challenges I would say is that sometimes, yeah, there are conflicts because a lot of people that I grew up with, went to high school with, for example, went to middle school with, are still in this community. They've been great resources for me in order to, you know, get information on various topics. But sometimes, you know, I do have to take a step back and say, I can't cover this particular story because, you know, my mother lives in that particular neighborhood and that could potentially be seen as a bias or things like that. And so, yeah, you do have to kind of take a step back. There was one terrible, terrible incident where I was assigned to cover a breaking news story. It was a police standoff in Waukesha. And we went and we covered it. And then we got the individual's name, who unfortunately was shot and killed by police. It ended up being kind of a suicide by cop type of situation. And when I got the name, I looked at it and I thought, gosh, this name sounds so familiar. And sadly, it was someone that I graduated high school with, you know. So it also is, it's difficult in covering some of these stories sometimes. And obviously, I mean, the biggest one of them all, right, was the parade tragedy in November of 2021. It hurts, right, covering some of these stories that, you know, I've been to that parade. I was going to be in that parade, actually. One of my friends, their kid, they had their foot run over during that parade. So, yeah, it is challenging in that regard.
You know, I hear you talking about this, and I think what you have in being someone who is embedded in a community who people know they can come back to again and again, who there's some familiarity with, in news, in television news, I think in particular, but news in general right now, trust is a huge issue. A lot of people don't trust the news media for a variety of reasons. Some of that's political. Some of that's just maybe we don't know. There's a lot of transience in news. People come and go. So you're not from my community. When you're from that community and you've been there a long time and people know that you're the go-to, I would think that's a big advantage. How important is trust in people coming to you with things or providing you information on stories because they know, we know Brett, we can trust him?
It's huge. It's probably the most important thing, Brian. And it's evident by the fact that, you know, I'm getting emails, you know, on a daily basis from people. Hey, can you cover this? You know, or hey, can you help me out with this? There's speeding in our neighborhood. We need someone to take a look into this. It's people coming up to me at the grocery store and going, hey, I know you. You're covering Waukesha. And, you know, I've got this problem XYZ. And so, yeah, it has been huge. But you know what, Brian? One of the most important things and one of the things that we really need to stress is Fox 6, we're not just interested in covering the bad things that happen in Waukesha. We're also committed to covering the good things. And I think we've really done a great job of showcasing not only the breaking news and the important hard news that happens in this community, but also the features and the heartwarming stories that happen here too. And I think when viewers take a step back and they see that landscape of stories from hard news to features, they really say, wow, they are doing a really good job. They really do care about covering our community in every aspect.
So one of the things in sitting in our morning editorial meetings where we go over story ideas and big things happening in the day, I will say that Amanda St. Hilaire, who is a Fox 6 investigator, but also helps with content and strategy in the newsroom, and thinks big picture, you, Brett, will, you know, give your ideas and things happening in Waukesha. And immediately her next sentence right after her question is, Brett, what do you think the biggest story in Waukesha is today? And I feel like that gives you that little bit of, I'd say, freedom or, you know, where you matter, Brett. You know, your opinion matters on what you think is the big story because you're the one embedded literally in the city, in the county. What kind of role, and I know Amanda's not here to talk about this, but what kind of role has Amanda played, do you feel, in helping drive the importance of beat reporting?
Feel free to say really glowing things. She is your boss, so.
Yes, exactly. Well, no, I mean, Amanda has been great, and she's really been a champion here in terms of beat reporting at the station. And it's not just me and Waukesha. You know, we also have other beat reporters at the station. Jason Calvi, for example, we can't go without mentioning him because he's our political reporter at the station. And he does very much similar things that I'm doing day in and day out with his beat. Angelica Sanchez is another great example in terms of crime stories, and she works with the U.S. Marshals on a weekly basis. But yeah, you know, when that question is posed to me, I always think, okay, well, there are, you know, my list, I always come every morning. There's no greater advocate in the newsroom, right, for covering Waukesha stories than me, because I come with a list of stories each and every day that we need to look at. And I think that when she says that, what it does is it opens the door because it's not necessarily a crime story in Waukesha that is the big story. It's not necessarily, you know, something bad that's happened to someone. But the big story in Waukesha could be a feature, you know, could be a guy, for example, that we just did last week that was running nonstop for 100 miles to raise money for one of the victims of the Waukesha parade attack. And I think that was a big story in Waukesha. And I think that, you know, as I look around to some of our competitors, it wasn't covered. And so our viewers were able to get that here. And I think that that does matter.
You know, I was thinking about this as we were planning the podcast. It, you know, Milwaukee is the gravitational center of our viewing area. It's the biggest city in the state. Milwaukee is, rather. I don't know if I said that. Did I say Milwaukee or did I say Waukesha?
You said Waukesha.
Milwaukee is the biggest city. It's the gravitational sort of force because it is the largest. It is where the most attention is going to be focused. And there are the challenge, I think, in running any newsroom in a community like Milwaukee is that there are it's not just that there's a Waukesha out there. There's Racine and Kenosha and Sheboygan and Oak Creek and a million places that aren't the city of Milwaukee. And every one of those places has issues and politics and things, positive stories and negative stories. And we don't have enough people to be beat reporters in all of them. But if you go, OK, so where strategically can we be? It does feel like Waukesha County, not just the city of Waukesha, which is obviously huge, but Waukesha County has so much going on. Lake Country is out that direction. There's so much happening there that to ignore that would be missing an enormous piece, I think, of what's going on in our viewing area.
And I think just of myself as someone who lives out here, right? When I'm watching the news at night, I go, yeah, that's interesting that that happened in, you know, in Milwaukee or that that continues to be a problem in Milwaukee. But what about us? You know, that people want to have and see their communities reflected back at them, good and bad. And I think, yeah, you're right. It's you can't ignore Milwaukee, right? Nor do we want to. But you also have to give a voice to all the other people and all the other communities that are in our viewing area. And sometimes it's something as small as, like I said, you know, people that were complaining about speeding or people blowing through stop signs in their neighborhood. Well, that's important to hundreds of people, right, that live in that neighborhood, that travel in that area. Maybe even you'd expand that to thousands of people that drive by there every day. And they're in this community and they want to see themselves and their communities reflected back.
Well, and I think it almost kind of too reminds me a little bit of our Contact 6 franchise where people come to you, to Jenna, to other reporters with a problem, with an issue. People are speeding in my neighborhood, we'll use. And, you know, maybe they've tried avenues that just haven't, you know, they've hit a couple walls. And then, you know, you kind of come in and you're able to share their story, share their problem, try to hold these people in power accountable. And then, again, they see that and go, yeah, we matter. And thank you for being able to help us push through what maybe we felt was a dead end.
Yeah. I mean, I go back to, you know, the slogan at Fox 6 from when I started was because you matter. Right. And so I take that to heart in every story that I do, because even if it's something small, it does matter to people. Right. Mm-hmm. It does matter to our viewers. It does matter to people in a community, in a neighborhood, in a house. I mean, you can narrow it down more and more, or you can expand it too. Because you matter is something that I think we all live and breathe in all of the stories that we do at Fox 6. And I think it really shows in our product.
I want to point something out that when we were talking about our first video podcast and who, what would the topic be and who would the guest be? It was Amanda who suggested we talk to Brett about this subject. And I presented it to Brett and Brett, in full humility said, I'll only do it if you also bring on Jason Calvi to talk about his political beat, because I don't think I can fill a whole podcast just talking about my stuff. And I want to point out that we've had a fantastic conversation, Brett, just with you. You're always a phenomenal guest. And I think we could probably keep talking about this for a long time. But no, you've been a great guest today. So I'm glad you did it, even without Jason.
Well, yes. And thank you. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for showcasing, you know, and further emphasizing that Waukesha does matter and that there are stories that are happening here every day. It's a community that I love. It's a community I grew up in. It's a community I'm raising my family in. Even my mother-in-law has moved to Waukesha. So
you're an influencer.
It really means a lot to me. And it's a community that I'm proud of, and the stories that we're telling on Fox 6 are stories that I'm very proud of, and I know that they do mean a lot to people living out here.
I think that's a good time for us to go off the record. This is the part of the podcast where we get a little more casual and have a little fun by answering a question for which we have not prepared. And Sarah Smith, I still have the language down here from last time. No Sarah Smith. She's getting a root canal. I'm glad your root canal went okay. That you are back.
I am here.
But you have a question.
I do.
And you are not in pain.
I do. Did we get rid of Brett? Oh, no, there he is. Oh,
no,
sorry.
Brett's still here. Yeah, okay. We've still got Brett for off the record.
I got a little sweaty. I was like, if it's just Brian and I, this might be a rough one. But let me just say really quick, one more thing. Brett, your love of Waukesha and Waukesha County is so infectious that I literally am like, should I move to Waukesha? I am from Iguanago, and so I also have a soft spot in my heart for Waukesha County and Waukesha. But man alive, like listening to you talk about Waukesha, I'm like, oh, my heart swells. Okay.
The Waukesha Chamber of Commerce literally just wanted to sign him.
Right, exactly. Right. Okay. So our off the record question. This is something that I'm sure will send Brian spiraling. So tipping at a restaurant is normal. Tipping when someone delivers something to your home, food, groceries, whatever. Also pretty standard. But think about all the things we do now in our day-to-day transactions and purchases that are self-checkouts. I'm not really talking about grocery stores, but more like at a coffee shop or something. Maybe you have a better example, but what about tipping?
I have a lot of examples.
What about tipping? You know, when you're on the iPad and they're touching the buttons and then they swivel it around to you and there's all those tipping options and you're like, what am I even tipping for? How do you feel about tipping at those self-checkouts?
I have all kinds of things to say, but Brett, if you want to go first, you can go right ahead.
Wait,
I have
before
thoughts.
Brett answers, no? Brian, no, why don't you give an example,
Sarah, happens-
maybe? Oh, you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay,
yeah,
go.
This happens to me all the time because I go to the chocolate factory weekly in Bellefield and get ice cream.
They're subs.
Yes, I get ice cream. My son and everything, they love it. But yeah, when they turn it around and they always say tip, you know, and you have the option. I don't tip. I don't. I don't know. To me, I mean, that's your job. You're scooping the ice cream. You put it in the cup. You're getting paid to do that. I don't think that a tip is necessary.
But 15-year-old son, it would be so upset to hear that. But I agree with you. My son worked at the Chocolate Chisel in Port Washington for a year. He just recently changed jobs to another custard place now in Port Washington called Toucan that's brand new. And he comes home and tells me how much they got in tips that day. And my first thought is, what are you getting tips for? You scooped ice cream. You're not waiting tables. You're not bussing tables. And here's the thing. Because I know it means a lot to him and he's 15 years old, now if I go to get ice cream, I end up tipping because I feel like, well, that would upset my son if he was working. And so I relate to that. And I guess I'm not so offended by the option to tip. You talk about that action of swinging the thing around as they look at you.
Yeah.
It feels like there's an expectation, and that's where I start to have a little bit of a problem with it, but I'll take it one step further. It's not just the option. It's when the options are 15, 20, and 25%.
Or custom, which means, in my head, more.
Or cut. You're right. You know, you want to. So 25% tip when you just bought $10 worth of ice cream, $2.50. You know, I don't tip that at the bar for a beer. You know, I don't know that. I mean, like, I think we all expect waiters, waitresses, bar staff, that's sort of standard and it's built into their sort of expected salary structure too. That's why wait staff is often paid very poorly by the hour because they expect to make tips. But I don't want to be the guy who says no tips because I think if you feel like they gave you exceptional service, they were super friendly and you want to help them out, fine.
Yeah, but okay, think about it though. Okay, so let's just use a fast food restaurant, a chain fast food restaurant. You go in, you buy. There's no tip jar. There's no option to tip these workers. They're just paid. So does that, are we saying, I don't know, and this is just a question, like, so people at Toucans or whatever other custard place, are they just, I mean, because there have always been those little tip jars, right, where you, throw your change in when you pay with cash, but so many are cashless now, or so many people pay with cards. So do you think they're just paid less that they want the tips? Is it just become standard where everything is tippable and...
I think the mechanism of how we pay has made tipping so much easier, that it's a why not? And there's an argument to be made that for the small business owner, this is a way of not having to raise someone's pay because, hey, we just made it easier for people to tip you. And I'm not a small business owner, and I know that can be a very difficult, you know, math problem to do in terms of hiring young people and how much you can pay them these days. So I'm not going to argue that. I just it's the expectation. I'm fine with optional tipping, and if people want to be very generous, I think that's wonderful. I think it's sort of the expectation for something that was a very what's the word I'm looking at? Sort of an expected part of your job, a basic thing. Like I just filled one. I go to Starbucks. I don't get the fancy drinks. I get a tall, dark
coffee,
roast coffee regular, with no cream or sugar. And to think that for that $3, I'm going to tip an extra couple of bucks just doesn't always add up. So anyway, that's my overall assessment.
Well, and the problem with the tip jar too, right, is that you don't know. I imagine it's split up amongst all the employees at the end of the day, or, you know, how does that work?
Right. Yeah.
If you have someone who did a great job for you, and I agree, yeah, you should give them a tip. But if you put it in the jar, how does that get divvied up? How does it get
a lot of times it's equally split? Yeah, and you've tipped someone for good service, but maybe the others they work around get some of that. I know.
But what if Brett goes to the chocolate factory at 1 p.m. and Johnny scoops his ice cream, and then Johnny's shift is done at 3, but they don't split tips till 5 p.m. What the what? Johnny gets
that's I now that I feel like that's for that place to figure
fine.
Out. And I think
logistics.
But I'll tell you, I have one experience, and this actually happened recently, and I won't name the coffee place. It happened at a coffee place, and this to me was the most over the top of all of them. Was I was in a drive through at a coffee place, and as I came through the drive through and went to pay, that instead of handing out the thing for me to, you know, swipe my card and then decide, the person inside took my card, but then while deciding whether or not she needed to hand me the device, she said, "Do you need to add a tip or anything?" As though I'll only hand this to you if you need to tip. And so I'm left with the option of going, nope, don't need to tip.
Looking or, like a turd. Or
yes, please. Yeah. And that one was too far for me. And I don't falter. I know what she was just trying to say. This is a pain to keep handing this thing out, but do you care to tip or not?
It's kind of like when they go, "Do you want to round up for charity?"
At least it's not for their own charity though.
When you're asking for a tip, you're asking for your own
money.
And Brian, do you find it's even worse because you're on television, right? And people know you that they're like, "Oh, Brian Poulsen didn't give a tip."
The cheapskate.
Brett, I hadn't considered that, but now you've just added a layer that I have to consider. You don't want to look like the cheapskate, right?
See, it pays to be a house cat.
And here's the thing. I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression. I am a generous tipper, especially in situations that typically call for that, because anyone who's worked in any sort of service job, you know
100%
how important that is. Yeah. And I am particularly, the thing is, I'm the person who will tip, even for bad service, I'll tip, you know, the expected, maybe it's 15 or 20%, and I'll give more for exceptional service. I think that should be rewarded. So I'm not chintzy on tipping. It's just the idea of the new obligation that's been presented for mundane tasks. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of us is unique in that. I think that's probably a pretty common beef. Yeah.
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 All right. I agree. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad we made it clear that we're not stingy people though, overall. If you have a topic you would like us to discuss on Open Record or an issue you think we should investigate for Fox 6 News, please send us an email to fox6investigators@fox.com. Brett, thanks again for being on the podcast. Thanks for being on our inaugural video podcast.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you here and look forward to more of your stories covering Waukesha and Waukesha County.
Right. And Sarah, come to Waukesha.
I love it. I will be there.
As always, thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. That includes our executive producer, Sarah Smith, our editor, Dave Machuda. I don't know what title we give other than I know chief photographer, Kale Zimney, but I'm going to call him the man behind the curtain extraordinaire.
I'm
going to
call him Master Puncher, but I was like, that sounds violent.
What is he? The Wizard of Oz of Open Record. And remember, I guess I don't have this all written down here, but remember, if you're listening to the audio version, the audio podcast continues as always, but the video version of the podcast is new, and so you can follow it. You can find this podcast on the Fox Local app on Apple TV, Android TV, Fire TV, and soon Roku as well, and more other options.
I believe this will also be in the Fox 6 YouTube channel.
Fox 6 YouTube channel, yes, as well. So a lot of places you can see us, and once you've seen us one time, you may never want to see us again.
Or all the time.
Or all the time. You may want to come back. But this will be, so the video version will be available each and every week as well. With that, I'm Brian Polson. We'll be back next week.